Now, friends, we're going into study number 4 this morning as we have a look at 1 John. And if you've been with us up to this point in 1 John, you will know that John is not one of these people that beat around the bush, or my favorite Wallace and Gromit saying, prevaricate around the bush. John packs the punches. He does not spare them. And I think as we've worked through 1 John, we've felt punch after punch after punch. As John tells us that firstly, the message that he is bringing is actually the true message that he himself witnessed about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's thrown us the punches in chapter 1, that if we claim to follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, if we claim to believe the message that John is telling us, yet we do not live our lives in accordance with how Jesus wants us to, John says, well, then actually we're telling God that he's a liar. And John says the truth is not in us. John has also told us that good works and religion will not get us to heaven unless we follow the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to take control of our lives and direct our actions. Last week, I think there were a number of folks squirming in their seats as we listened to John's description of an authentic Christian. A person who tries not to sin. A person who learns more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And a person who walks as Jesus did. Now this morning, John does not stop throwing the punches, and he throws another punch at our way. This morning, the punch is largely directed at Christians. But I'm sure there's a lot to be said for those that aren't Christians as well. In chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, in those verses that we read a few moments ago, John urges us, those of us who truly walk in the light, those of us who are truly the authentic Christian, he says firstly to us this morning, let's not forget the basics. It's so easy to forget the basics. We always used to joke when I was in the working world, when I was working in the factory. We'd get an apprentice to come into the workshop, and we'd tell the apprentice, the first thing we'd tell the apprentice was, now you don't know stuff that I've already forgotten. You see, that's it. We forget the basics. We forget what it is that we know. And we forget to implement it. John says to us, let's not forget the basics. Look with me, well, in verse 6, actually, what we looked at last week, chapter 2, verse 6. John says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And then immediately goes into verse 7 where he says, dear friends, I am not writing a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. See, John's saying to us, remember, you must live your life in accordance with what the Lord Jesus has done. From an Old Testament point of view, that is not anything new. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, after Moses had just told the Israelites the Ten Commandments, reminded them about the Ten Commandments, Moses immediately went on to talk about the fact that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he went on to say that we must teach it to our children and so on. I'm sure you're familiar with that passage. But listen to the words of the writer of Leviticus, where he says in chapter 19 and verse 18, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people. Talking there about the Israelites themselves. But love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. It's So John telling us, live your life as Jesus did, walk as Jesus did, is actually not anything new. We should know that if we've been looking at our Bibles. You see, that's going back into the basic, going back into the Old Testament and reminding ourselves, hang on, yo, what John's saying is not actually new. Because God said it way back then, 1500 years earlier, that we must love God and love one another. It's an old command. But John doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't just say, actually, this is something you should know. He says, but, verse 8, yet I am writing a new command. Its truth is seen in you, in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. John knows that the love was from the beginning, which we've just spoken about from the Old Testament. And he says that we mustn't forget that. But he's also telling us that God's love was seen and witnessed in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps you recall the words of the Lord himself in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. Where Jesus says, a new command I give you. What's his command? Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I think there's a song written about that, isn't there? A new command I give to you. That all men might know that you are my disciples. Now that is something that has actually come up in the Old Testament. It's not new. But it is new in the sense that it has now turned from God to the Lord Jesus Christ. The instruction to love our fellow Christians. Of course, we do take that wider to say loving our neighbor and those that don't know the Lord Jesus as well. But I think in the context of 1 John here, John is speaking primarily about loving our brother and our sister in Christ. And so, I think what John is saying is more than just, you know, coming to church and putting on the happy face. We all do it, I'm sure. Hey, great to see you. Meanwhile, in our mind, we're going, oh, gee, I can't stand you, you know, but I'll put on a smiley face and I'll greet you. Okay? I hear some chuckles. I'm sure we all do that, not only with our friends or with those in the church, but with others as well. I think John is saying here that we must love our fellow Christians, the new commandment and the old commandment. We must not forget them, not forget the basics. And live our lives like Jesus. How did Jesus live his life? Well, he loved us so much that he was willing, even at a personal cost, and for Jesus it was death, to give himself up for us. Are we willing to do that for one another sitting here this morning? God's word says that, yeah, we might be willing to do that for a friend or a family member. But, yay, most people would. God says, are we willing to do that for those that we also don't particularly get on with? And I think that's what John's talking about here. Let us not forget the basics. But John carries on. And he doesn't just leave it there. He says, don't forget the basics, but also let's love and not hate. Have a look with me at verse 9. Anyone who claims to be in the light, in other words, anyone who claims to be a Christian, that is following the Lord Jesus Christ, but hates his brother, is still in the darkness. Brother there denoting, I think, a brother and a sister in the Lord Jesus Christ, so fellow Christians. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, and he does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. I've mentioned that brother here, I think, is talking about a fellow Christian. More so than perhaps our non-Christian friends and family, although we also are told to love them as well. The Lord clearly says that we must love our enemies as well. But I want us to think in terms of love for Christian brothers and sisters today. And I don't just mean here in this church. I mean within our town, within the greater country, within the world, our brothers and sisters who are in Christ. You see, if we claim to be a Christian and we come to church with a grudge against another Christian, is John perhaps not saying to us, well, we are actually still in the darkness? We hear stories all the time about people who've left the church because they didn't get on and they didn't see eye to eye with somebody else. We've heard of people who sit at opposite ends of the church building and go out different doors so as to avoid each other. John tells us plainly, if you hate your fellow Christian, then you are filled with darkness. Or to put it bluntly, John's basically saying, you are not a Christian. Now that's strong words, because there's always somebody that we don't always see eye to eye with. Somebody that perhaps just rubs us up the wrong way every time we see them. But John is adamant. Either you are a Christian and you love your Christian brothers and sisters, or you're not a Christian and you don't love. John goes on and continues in verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Perhaps you know of someone, or perhaps even yourself, who has done this sort of thing and has a grudge against a fellow Christian or doesn't like a particular Christian in the church. Chances are that when we're in a situation like that, we tend to defend our position. Yeah, but you know that they actually said this and I don't agree with them we defend our position. Think for a moment about a dark room. The power goes off. Eskom doing their normal thing and we have no power and it's dark in the middle of the night. And we're walking around the house and initially we can't see much at all. But as our eyes grow accustomed to the dark, we begin to see faint little shadows here and little pieces of furniture there. And we actually think, hey, we're doing pretty well walking around in the darkness. And then we walk into something. You see, we can convince ourselves that we can actually see in the darkness. And to a point we can. But John is saying, if you defend your position as a Christian by saying, oh, well, I don't like that person because of A, B, and C, or because they said this, or because they did that, John is saying, it's like walking around in a dark room, and we think we know where we're going, but we don't. Strong words from John, friends. And maybe we all need to look inside our own lives at what John and God are saying to us this morning. Now, hatred is a massively strong word. We tell the kids, no, you can't say that. You can't say you hate somebody. That's too strong. And it is a strong word. But I want us to think about this for a moment. Because maybe we're saying here, well, I don't actually hate them. I just don't see eye to eye with them. I just don't get on with them. But why is the reason, perhaps, that we don't get on with someone, that we don't like another fellow brother and sister in Christ? Is it because that perhaps they don't make us feel as important as we think we are? Is it because they don't agree with everything that we say, that we think is important? You see, friends, I think we need to be careful of our own attitudes here. We all like to think of ourselves as the most important person. What I have to say is the most important thing any of you can listen to. And we all think that is true. Okay? We all think that what each of us has to say is the most important thing. And if people don't like what we say, well, then we say, well, then they must get lost. Now, obviously, that's different when we turn to God's Word. Because we are speaking God's Word and not our own thoughts. But we need to be careful of our self-centered approach to life, our self-love of ourselves. Because when I think too highly of myself, when I think I am the most important person, well then of course others are going to rile me because they're not going to give me the position that I think I deserve. They're not going to say the things that I think are correct. And so in a way we begin through self-love, through self-importance, to hate other people because they don't think like we do. I know a number of you watch Seven Dallan, and as much as I don't like watching it, I actually end up watching it. It's crazy because Helen and the kids enjoy it. Apparently the kids have been told it's good for Afrikaans, so watch it. And I normally sit at the computer playing some boring computer game while these guys are watching Seven Dallan, but I overhear it. And there's a character in Seven Dallan called Matruan. You know the lady? She's a big lady, and she's quite a bossy lady from what I've picked up. And just this past week, I think they've been practicing for some other play or something like that. And Matruan's whole attitude on life is, well, I'm the most important character on the show. Have you picked that up? And apparently, we missed that episode, but apparently something went horribly wrong in the drama, and everyone laughed at her. And how did she respond? She was like, oh, I'm never going to show my face in public again, and da-da-da-da. You see, that's how we can be like as Christians, friends. We think we are more important than we are. And when people don't agree with us, when people don't push us up onto those pillars, we begin to hate them because they don't like us and our self-importance. Are you with me? You understanding what John's saying? So it is strong words. And we need to be careful of our own self-importance as Christians. But notice that John doesn't just go in and say, oh, well, if you hate one another, you're in the darkness. But he also gives us a positive element in verse 10. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. And there is nothing in him to make him stumble. Can you see the opposite? When we think more highly of ourselves than we should, we cause other people to stumble and sin, and we end up hating other Christians. But when we walk in the light, which we've been talking about, when we are a true Christian, an authentic Christian, and we walk like Jesus wants us to, then we will love one another. And there's nothing in us to make the other person stumble. You see, as authentic Christians, loving each other as Jesus loved us is a sign that we love Jesus. The fact that we help others grow in Christ and not become a stumbling block for them. Can you imagine what God would say to us on the day of judgment if we stood before Him and God said to us, you know, yes, you're a Christian, but do you know how many people you caused to stumble and fall away from the faith because you did not love them? Can you imagine how we might feel? And that's what God's saying to us today. That's what John's telling us here in this passage. Let us love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Put our egos aside. Let's put our self-image aside and love one another. Well, those are tough words, friends. But John carries on, and in fact, he says to us, not only must we not forget the basics, not only must we love and not hate, But he says, let's put our confidence in God. John knows how hard it is to love one another. And he knows how people can rub us up the wrong way. But John goes on to remind us that we need to put our confidence in God and in the fact that God is with us. In these next three verses from verse 12 to 14, John almost goes into a bit of poetry here. And he uses a bit of poetical license. In other words, he uses words where he means as a sort of a covering word. And you'll notice that there are three terms that he uses quite regularly here. He uses the term children. He uses the term fathers. And he uses the term young men. And he uses each of those twice in these next three verses. Now, before you switch off and say, well, I'm not a child. Hey, I'm not a father and I'm not a young man, so none of this applies to me. Let me very briefly explain to you what I think John is saying here. Look back to the beginning of chapter 2 and verse 1. How does John address the church that he is writing to? Notice he uses the words, my dear children. Have a look at chapter 2, verse 18, a couple of verses further on. John says, dear children. Again in chapter 2, verse 8, he uses the same term, and now, dear children. You see, when John is using the word children in this letter, he's not meaning those boys and girls that are now sitting in Sunday school and having their own lesson. John is meaning the church. In other words, all Christians. John, probably an old man when he was writing this letter, sees the church as his children. And so he teaches them, he corrects them, he trains them, just like a father would. So when you read here in verse 12, 13, and 14, I write to you, dear children, think of it as John saying, I write to you, Christians. Fellow Christians around the world. Notice also that John uses the term fathers. Now, while that might apply to some of us sitting here this morning, I want to suggest that it actually applies to many of us sitting here this morning, because a father is the head of the home. The father is the mature figure in the household. And I want us to understand the word father here as those who are mature in Christ. I'm not meaning age maturity. So just because you're a pensioner does not mean that you are mature in Christ. John is speaking here about those who have been Christians for a long time and have grown up, have studied God's word, and have spent time focusing and trying to come to grips with who Christ is, what he has done, and what God's word says to us. So fathers, when we read fathers here, I want us to understand mature Christians. And likewise, when it comes to young men, I want us to think of those who are younger in their Christian faith. Those who have not spent all the time in the Bible. Those who are still struggling to come to grips with who Jesus is and what his message is all about. So, I write to you, verse 12, dear children, I write to you, the church of Christ, because your sins have been forgiven on account of me. I write to you, fathers, mature Christians, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, or younger Christians, because you have overcome the evil one, and so he carries on. So just very quickly as we wrap things up this morning, John is firstly saying that we must put our confidence in God, and because it's hard to love those Christians amongst us. But he's remembering that as we, he's saying, all Christians have been forgiven by God. All of us here, if we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven by God. So how can we say in one sentence, I'm forgiven by God, and then not forgive our fellow Christian? So John is saying to us, remember, we've been forgiven, therefore love each other. Our confidence in loving one another is in the fact that all of us, as Christians, have been forgiven. Secondly, John says, and he speaks to those who are the mature Christians amongst us, those who have spent their time learning who Christ is, those who have spent their time living their lives for Him. And he says to us, you should know these things because, what does he say? They are from the beginning. In other words, because we have spent time in God's Word, because we have studied the Bible, we should know that as Christians we should love one another. So I think as mature Christians we have less excuse than any other. We need to love one another because that's what we know from the Bible. And lastly, John says, and he speaks to the younger Christians, those who have not spent years and years studying the Bible. And he says, well, you've come to know Jesus and you've spent time digging into God's words and you've discovered some of these things for yourselves. But he says, our confidence is in God because we have overcome the evil one, because we are strong, because we have God's word in our lives. See, our strength as young believers comes from the word of God. So whether you're a mature believer or a young believer or somewhere in between, are we spending time in God's word, basing our confidence on what God has to say so that we can love one another? Now, perhaps today you've been sitting here and saying, well, that's all well and good, but I actually still don't quite know who Jesus is. I don't fit into any of these categories. See, friends, may I urge you then just to come and chat to me about that, because I think it's important. You see, John says if we don't love fellow Christians, or if in fact we're not a Christian ourselves, it's as if we are walking in the darkness. And we know that there is no darkness in God, which means if we're walking in the darkness, we will be excluded from God's presence. So come chat to me and I'll try and help you to understand what it means to be a Christian. But if you are a Christian, friends, and I know many of you are, love one another. Perhaps that means that you might need to go and reconcile your differences with someone else. But go and do it. Why? Well, because we've been forgiven. So friends, let's ask for God's help in this and let's pray. Lord, we do just come to you this morning, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for encouraging us to love one another. But we thank you also, Lord, for the challenge in your word that if we claim to follow you but hate our brother, then we are in fact in the darkness. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us truly as believers in you to love our fellow Christians, wherever they might be, whoever they might be. And so, Lord, we ask for your strength in this and pray, Lord, that you would help us to confidently trust in you, knowing that we have been forgiven by you. But, Lord, we also ask and pray for those who do not know you, and we ask that you would speak to them and help them to see, Lord, that they need you. And so, Lord, we commit this time to you now. In your name, amen.